What's going on, everyone? As always, this is RFBM, Raising the Financial Bar with Mar. So I'm getting more involved in doing this content because I think it's necessary that we're able to get professionals that are actually in the fields, have the background and accolades to actually authentically discuss some of these things, because oftentimes we have people that really aren't sure of what they're saying. And even if they are, don't really have, a certain amount of intellect or experience or background to really formally state the things that they do on a day-to-day basis and genuinely, you know, come out their heart and, you know, do what they do. So today I have a guest here, Mr. Mario Payne. And just go ahead and formally introduce yourselves. Most often than not, I'd rather you describe yourself and just the background of just overall what you do as well.
Yeah. Well, first off, man, I still have my hair cut. I'm rocking a Kobe right now with the music. Definitely rest in peace to Kobe, man. And
yes, sir.
Is one of, not the greatest. I think Michael was the greatest, but definitely the second greatest basketball player of all time. But yeah, so Mario Payne, I'm a certified financial planner. I'm based here in Jacksonville, Florida. I've been practicing for 15 years. I have hundreds of clients nationwide. We have clients in six different countries. We manage money. So we help individuals with buying stocks, selling stocks. We build wealth. We do financial plans. And we just create growth within our community. I mean, that's for the most part. I'm SEC registered. So most financial advisors, you know, work for a firm. I have my own firm. It's called Thomas Financial. TOME stands for Tithe, Offering, Alms, Means Stewardship. Just kind of my way to throw my beliefs in your face without throwing it in your face. my thought process is if I manage your money correctly, you'll be able to tithe more, offer more, and just be obedient. So that's me. I became a certified financial planner in 2013. In our community, less than 3% of all African-American advisors are certified financial planners.
Wow.
Less than 1% are SEC registered. So there's not a lot of knees walking around. I woke up this morning. That's a blessing by itself, but just blessed. I graduated from Tennessee State, so definitely support our HBCUs. So definitely support our HBCUs from Tennessee State standpoint. I actually got nominated to be on their foundation. So I now, me and other individuals kind of help manage the endowment for Tennessee State University. So that's pretty cool. They gave me a shot in college and I'm able to manage the money going forward. Born and raised in Cincinnati, spent 4 years in the Army, and now I'm here rocking and rolling.
I'm going to be honest. I'm learning as my community is learning as well. My followers, essentially, your background there. Well, first things first, thank you for your service. And also, that's very admirable that you actually went to HBCU and you're actively involved as well. Just thinking of that, are you familiar with Collegiate 100 or 100 Black Men?
So 100 Black Men, I don't do anything with them. It's always an opportunity if they want to reach out. I'm here to help. Collegiate 100, no, but I've definitely heard of 100 Black Men. So Tennessee State FAMU, we always have like a rivalry game in Atlanta every year. Not so much these past years, but when I was in school and I was sponsored by the 100 Black Men. So I know they do a lot from an HBCU standpoint, but I don't work with them at the present time, no.
Okay. And that's good. The reason I mention is because, you know, I graduated back in 2017, business administration from USF. And one of the things that I didn't do where I wish I did, because I did 2 years in a community college before I transferred, was get more involved once I got to the 4 year. But, you know, one of the things, you know, when you're not as outspoken, you would think as a business major and you don't interact, and especially you kind of, you know, have a hard time engaging and getting in contact with people in your community to transition. You know, it was a little rocky, but back at HUC, you know, the 100 Black Men, Collegiate 100 was like, I want to say, not necessarily, you know, umbrella per se, but kind of like a partnership within. And with Collegiate 100, they would assist us to make sure we're on the right path so that we, you know, graduate, keep our grades together. And we also would mentor youth within our community as well. So I feel like that was almost almost foreseeing the future of you going further. So it's really good to get in contact with people that I know that are actively getting involved in. I want you to, you know, tell me.
Just real quick, you dropped a gem and you didn't even know it, right? So we think about college over a 4-year time period, student loans. You going into community college, you save so much money from a student loan standpoint. So a lot of times we go to college. Yes, I did the 4-year route. Again, I was in the military at the time, so a lot of my college was paid for. But like my wife, for instance, she did 4 years and then she had her master's. But by you doing community college, you know, you probably saved about 30 to 40%. So if your student loans, when it's all said and done, was, let's say, $100,000, just kind of make up a number, you saved $35,000 or $40,000. I mean, so that money that you don't have to pay over time, you don't have to pay interest, that's going to allow you to have more money in your pocket as you get older, which means more money that you can invest, save, do real estate, do whatever you want to. So definitely by you doing community college in 2 years, then going to a big college, you definitely save some money. So you dropped a gem to your audience that didn't even know about it.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. I need to jot that down. Well, like you said, we'll have this recording, but with school, especially, you know, coming from a background where it's unless you know, have financial aid, or you're really just grinding and taking all of these loans out and everything. And one of the things that I was really grateful about is because I did volunteer a lot back in high school. They had this program at one point within my local community in Tampa where they're giving out scholarships. So along with getting financial and scholarship was good. Funny enough, like you said, it was not until I transferred to USF where, you know, the game's a little different. They're charging a little bit more. And I wanted to get out of there because, being honest, I love business. I love educating myself, but I didn't love college. And, you know, that's not crazy, you know, of people, especially when you're not involved. And you know, my transition, I didn't have a car at the time. And it was just, you know, it's things like this, like even with your tips that you're saying, I was saving money, but I was glad I was saving money. I didn't realize the magnitude of it because, you know, I didn't really understand money the same way as I'm still continuing to learn now. And while we segue into that, can you tell me about like your journey becoming a certified financial planner? What really was your biggest motivation behind that?
Yeah, it's crazy because like when I was in college, I wanted to do business. So I interned with a company called En-ROADS. They basically are minority based that tries to find college students internships and then into college. I'm sorry, after college, actually into the corporate America job. So I interned with them throughout the summertime at General Electric. It's crazy. So I got hired at General Electric. My job was to do financial analysis in a call center. So I managed a call center team and had to analyze kind of how to save money. So, you know, when you call somebody, press one, press two, they want you to get through that prompt without talking to a live person because that saves money. So I basically created a script and created a pathway to save the money. So I saved them $4 million. And that's a lot of darn money, right? And this is back in 2005, 2006, right? So with inflation, that's more like...
Yeah, just for inflation, that's...
Yeah. So think about it. I saved them $4 million. Do you know what I got? I didn't get a raise.
What?
I didn't get a bonus. I got a Friday pizza party. So no disrespect to GE, you know, they've been here for hundreds of years. They're a great company. But just for me, it was like, okay, this doesn't make sense. I analyzed a business. I found out how to save the money business. I should get paid for helping them save money. What can I do where I can analyze a business, have me or clients make money and get paid for it? Let me become a financial advisor. So that's kind of when that light went off, because all through growing up in school, black financial advisors didn't look like us. We think about a financial advisor, they don't look like us, right? So, but I had that epiphany. So I got hired at my first firm in 2007 called Edward Jones. I worked there for 6 years to kind of learn the game. And then I started my own practice in 2013, and the rest is history.
Wow. And crazy enough, that I'm still stuck on how much money you saved and what you ended up getting in return, a pizza party. I didn't even care about those back when I was in elementary school. I'm like, please, pizza. Like growing up in a background where I'll just adding that in. My parents are both, you know, I'm first generation. Both my parents are from Jamaica. So I didn't care about no pizza. I was like, pizza, like, come on now. Where's the jerk chicken? Where's the actual food? It's almost systematic, you know. I don't want to reach, but that's how they pacify people. Like, we'll give you a pizza, or even the hard work working on this one here warehouse job, what they compensated by was wings and pizza, and none of this stuff is going to do good for your health, and it really doesn't put anything in your pockets. So you're really getting paid peanuts to do what you to do what you're doing. And it sounds like you're moving a lot of mountains. So going further onto that, what's one of the things that you experience the most, the biggest challenge that you have on a day-to-day basis as a certified financial planner?
Man, so it's a gift and a curse. Like, so you're able to help so many people. So we have hundreds of clients, almost up to 1,000 nationwide. So great that we help people, but everybody has different situations. A person might call, a lover might pass away, right? It might be a client. So that hurts, you know, helping a person over time and then seeing them pass away and helping, you know, their children or their spouse. So that kind of hurts. Some of the good things, though, is that you build plans for individuals. I've had clients that, you know, wanted to retire at a certain age. Now they can't retire. I've made clients millionaires. I've had, you know, plans where parents didn't have to pay for their children's school. So now instead of getting, you know, $80,000 student loan, you know, that's money that stays in their pocket so that they can now buy their first house. I've helped people create businesses and have money going into their business so that they have tax write-offs. So it's just the ebbs and flows on a day-to-day basis. So I would say I have any challenges right now when the stock market is down like crazy. You know, that can be a challenge because, you know, when people are losing money, you know,
the fear sets in
a negative way. As we might talk about, we have things in place though where we kind of get people out the market before it goes down. So our clients, for the most part, have not been affected as much as everybody else, but it's just the ebbs and flows. You don't have like a set schedule. I mean, you have schedule, but people call all the time. So just the ebbs and flows and not what's going on during the day.
Beautifully said. It's one thing I noticed that you stated within that is that big challenge, you know, people passing away and everything. I feel like, of course, it can be interpreted as a blanket statement, but just going off of, you know, anecdotal evidence and what I've seen around me, friends and family associates, a lot of people don't have a plan, whether it's a will, living trust or a life insurance policy. So I know on the surface some of these things, and I've made sure to cover myself with life insurance. I had just started looking into, well, what happens if I pass and who's going to be in charge of whatever assets that I have. But can you give us an insight of your thought on how often the community is actually thinking of these things and using this? And what do you think needs to be done to try to create a shift so that more people are taking advantage of that?
Yeah, not often enough. Not often enough. I mean, insurance is a way to pass down, you know, wealth right now. It's kind of a movement right now, the wrong movement in my thought process. You know, people are getting these huge variable life policies where you have like a $3,000 or $4,000 premium on a yearly basis and you take it out, and people think it's a tax write-off when you take it out. Not the case. So it's a lot of misinformation about life insurance policies, but at the core, it's a blanket statement, so it's not for everybody, but in the core, you know, we recommend a person, if they're working, they want to get group term. And I recommend my clients, depending on what they got going on, five to 10 times their salary. So if I'm making $50,000 a year, 10 times the $500,000 policy. Well, if it's group term at my job, it's far less expensive than whole life outside the job. Now, we definitely recommend some sort of whole life, universal whole life, depending on the person's situation. But definitely life insurance is very, very key. A lot of times, us as a people, we get life insurance on our children, right? So we buy a policy for our child. That doesn't help our child if we pass away, right? So I know from a cost standpoint, sometimes it's cheaper, but we recommend people to get group term. If you are self-employed or you're not employed, as a self-employee, you know, you can get a key man policy where it's life insurance on your business. So if something happens, those proceeds kind of help pay for the business. So if you want to sell it, it's an easier process. If you're not employed, you want to get some type of term or whole life insurance. But the key is I always recommend at least five, no more than 10 times your salary. It's tax-free too, right? So life insurance is tax-free. So when you're receive the proceeds, your family does, they don't pay taxes, which is even better. You got to report it, but you don't actually pay any income taxes.
Oh, that's awesome. See, and I know that we have to get out soon, but just as we get to a close, just wrapping up, I'm glad every time you answer, it's something else that comes out of it. It's like, this is making it easier, a smoother transition. And We definitely have to talk. And there's a lot of things that I definitely can learn. And I'm just a sponge, just wanting to learn as much as I can. But focusing on what you said, there is a lot of misinformation going on, especially after the pandemic. I'm glad people are becoming more conscious and thinking that they can invest. And like I said, I only have that analytical mindset because I did, you know, go to school, but also I'm kind of investigative because I like to think before I go about and make an inference or try to jump into something I don't know. A lot of people are talking about this is a write-off, this is a write-off. What they fail to realize, a lot of people have to have capital, and also who cares? You know, for somebody to donate and get a tax write-off, they had to have that, you know, money in the first place to get there or buy a certain thing. And just speaking overall, what do you think is the biggest problem within our community when it comes to financial literacy?
It isn't any. So, I mean, so mm-hmm. people look at financial literacy as a way for me to get a bag, a way for me to mm-hmm. make a play, run this mm-hmm. play, right? Mm-hmm. Financial literacy is more learning about an investment, learning about mm-hmm. something so you don't get scammed. We see so much stuff on Facebook, on YouTube, on the Gram, on TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's just, in the words of young individuals, it's just cap. Like, and then mm-hmm. it's not vetted, right? It's no person, you know, coming back saying this is incorrect, this is not correct. One of the cool things that we actually created, me and my business partners created, we actually created a actual app that launches in the fourth quarter this year that kind of helps individuals from an investment standpoint answer those questions. The website is www.letbob.com. The company's mm-hmm. called Let Bob, and it's based on an investment app. It's like a Robinhood. So you think about Robinhood,
you invest.
But this is a Black-owned company that created their own investment app, but it tackles the wealth gap. It tackles financial literacy, and it has things in there to kind of help individuals navigate what to invest, when to invest, because a lot of times, you know, mm-hmm. we buy high and sell low. And in our mm-hmm. community, if we lose more than 10% on investment, it usually takes us on average 15 months to invest again, right? Wow. So if I buy high, I sell mm-hmm. low, the market's down, I don't buy again until it goes back up. I missed out on that wave of up, right? Mm-hmm. So we have things in place that preferably will help financial literacy. Another thing before we close, we launched our ETF. It's the first Black-owned AI-powered ETF ever on the market. The symbol's called mm-hmm. LetBe. Through a Black-owned company, and that allows individuals to, if they want to invest in something, but they don't know what, mm-hmm. but they just want to just be in the market, it allows them to be in the market. We have things in place that, theoretically speaking, if the market's doing good, you're in things mm-hmm. that's making money. When the market's going down, you're not losing. So this year is definitely not down like everything else, which is great from a performance standpoint. So mm-hmm. there's things out there from Black ownership-wise that can help.
Awesome, yeah.
But financial literacy, though, man, just don't believe everything on the internet. Don't mm-hmm. believe everything on the gram. Like 90 to 95% of that is a lie. Even when a person says, I made $1 million. Okay, mm-hmm. if you may have made $1 million, but if you spent $900,000, mm-hmm. you ain't make $1 million. Or if you made $1 million and you spent $1.5 million on marketing, you ain't make no money. So, you know, you just want to be careful.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I know that you have to go, but one thing I want to slide in. I know you said you're based in Jacksonville currently, right?
Yeah, I'm in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Jacksonville?
No, I'm born and raised in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Yeah. The nasty
daddy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, man. Well, one last thing I want to say, Mario, I really appreciate this conversation. I'm glad that you had your system was able to reach out and we were able to get this done. But this is for anyone just specifically, of course, overall, I want to impact everyone overall within my reach, but particularly my community. I'm young or I'm old, young or old. I don't know where to go. I'm not really familiar with finances. I know I need to make a change. What's one of the best tips that you could give somebody to try to turn that shift from essentially being in a bad financial standpoint and to start that process on the right track to start to grow?
Yeah. So first off, you want to budget. I mean, mm-hmm. so if you're bad financially, something's going on in a negative way. So you probably mm-hmm. want to stop spending as much money. If you mm-hmm. actually do a budget, it allows you to see money come into your pocket, out your pocket. It's an add-on, okay, a budget. I'm so old, but mm-hmm. it works. If you're able mm-hmm. to identify what's coming in at your pocket, what's coming out your pocket, what's coming in, what's coming out, mm-hmm. you know, you'll be able to see what's missing. And then you start from there. So that'd be the first thing. Then also, In December, if you go to letbob.com, we go there now and sign up. Mm-hmm. You go to letbob.com. Mm-hmm. They have some tools that's going to allow you to hopefully turn that financial hardship around.
All righty. Thank you so much, Mr. Penn. And once again, this is RFBM, Raising the Financial Bar with Mar. Peace, love, blessings, everyone. Take care. Thank you, Mario. It's been a pleasure.
Peace.
Our own mind has to be changed. We have to change our mind about ourselves. So,
this world is such a...
Gimme.
Everybody back off. You know, everybody's like taught that from school.
I don't come to bow, you know. I come to conquer.